This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and Jeremy Zakas is here from New South Wales. We are watching the approach of the Australian winter. There's some irony here. Jeremy, a very good day to you. Rug up. The recommendation here is to rug up. First of all, I remember Anzac Day. You've passed another one. What is Anzac Day for Australia, Jeremy? Good day to you.
G'day, John. Yes, Anzac Day is one of our most sacred holidays. And yes, it is actually a public holiday. So we all got the day off. Now, Anzac Day actually harks back to World War One, and it was actually based on a campaign in which the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps, which is where the Anzac name comes from, was basically commanded by the British to take a peninsula in Turkey. It was actually the Gallipoli Peninsula. So back in 1915, the Gallipoli campaign was effectively a British-run campaign to take Turkey by this narrow peninsula and effectively try and move up into the main battle area, I guess you could say. The only problem was that the Anzac forces under the command of the British were actually dropped at the wrong point in the peninsula. So instead of being dropped further up north where there was a lot less Turks and there was a lot easier way to actually move inland, the Anzacs were dropped on Gallipoli Cove, which is April 25, 1915. And the instant they did that, they met with an absolute barrage of fire. The Turks had greater numbers than the British recon had identified. The Anzacs were ill-prepared because they expected a relatively easy beach landing. And so what actually happened was very much a bloodbath. The Anzacs were not completely slaughtered, but they, under intense fire, moved up the beach into the base of the cliffs and effectively held territory there. The Turks, while they couldn't stop the Anzacs coming ashore, they certainly gave them what for. And basically, over the next months, the Anzacs held the beach as long as they could until eventually they had to withdraw. But it has become a national holiday here because it showed what we call the Anzac spirit. So it's our cooperation with New Zealand, even though we do jokingly call New Zealand Aussies most of the time. But it shows that there has been intense competition and cooperation overseas wherever we need to have it. So the Anzac spirit comes out. Anzac Day is pretty much our biggest military holiday that we have here in Australia. And honestly, John, it's just one of those excuses to get out, have a barbie, have a couple of beers, and enjoy the day with your friends and relatives. So that's basically our Anzac Day for you.
Is there a parade in Sydney?
There is. In fact, there are parades right across the country. The parade here in Sydney was the biggest by far, and all our war veterans come out and march down the middle of Sydney, down George Street and down Park Street and all the centre parts of the city. But in every major city around Australia, there were Anzac Day parades. But it also starts very early on because the dawn service for Anzac Day is probably the most sacred part of the whole day, where literally just before dawn, veterans around Australia gather at the war memorials. They have a gunfire breakfast, which is basically you get a rum and coffee, bacon and eggs, and effectively just wait for the sun to rise. Then as the sun rises, the last post is played, the commemoration begins. And basically after that, most of the veterans then go on to the actual Anzac Day parade. So you can imagine from big cities to small country towns, there were parades all across the city, across the continent. And then after that, that's when the barbecues and celebrations begin, and they last all day. And honestly, John, because it was a Thursday this year, you can imagine most people also took a Friday off or chucked a sickie. So a lot of people are still enjoying a very long weekend right now.
Rum and coffee? Is that what you said? Rum and coffee?
Rum and coffee, and that's called the gunfire breakfast. And the reason we have rum and coffee is because on the actual Anzac campaign, when the Anzacs were actually in Gallipoli in 1915, they had very few rations. But the only one little treat, I guess you could say, they had in their rations was from time to time, they're allowed to have a very small bit of rum in their coffee. They had it in their coffee because the coffee was so bad and the rum was so bad, but combining them kind of made it palatable, but also made you happy at the same time. So that also harks back to the spirit of the Anzac tradition as well. So gunfire breakfast with a bit of rum and coffee, and that'll get your day started.
Rum and coffee. All right. Rug up. What does that mean, Jeremy?
Well, rug up is very much as it kind of sounds. When you're told to rug up, it means get the warmest clothes possible, or at least get yourself nice and warm and toasty because you're entering a very, very cold day or you're going somewhere very cold. So you'd pretty much use it. And I got it pretty much all through my childhood going to school, where my mum would say, you know what, it's cold out there, Jeremy, you better rug up for the day, which means literally put your jumper on or put some sort of coat on. Don't just go out in shorts and T-shirts, because being kids in Australia, you pretty much grow up in shorts and T-shirts. So rugging up is effectively being told, put on those warm clothes. It's a little bit colder than normal.
Two people separated by a common language. Rug up. I got it right away, but I wanted to make sure. All right. Your winter is coming on. Our summer is coming on. We're colder than you. It was 1 degree Celsius all week long before dawn. And then it frosted up two nights at least, sweeping through the earliest daffodils. The grass had a nice icy sheen on top of the green. It's a beautiful time of year. The forsythia are flaming yellow. The daffodils, I have lots of daffodils, are all marching around like regiments. The tulips are up. They haven't opened yet because it's too cold to open. They're rugged up. The lilies are popping through, but everybody's, all the flower garden is waiting for it to warm up. They're going, hey, it's going to be May. What is happening? All right, I report that for New England. However, all week long, I called the south of France, Occitanie, same degrees, cold in the morning, frost on the grass. I called Milan, big city, frosty all day, all week long. Berlin, they were rugged up in Berlin, and they were still cold. So the cold weather gripped the North Temperate Zone when it's springtime. Now, what I'm learning is if it had been as cold in Australia as it is here, you'd be paralyzed, right, Jeremy? I mean, you're not used to 1 degree mornings.
Exactly right. In fact, not only would we be paralyzed, we'd be complaining completely, because here in Australia, and we are going into fall right now, I should say, so we're technically going into the cold part of the year, we've had temperatures that have been around about 5 to, you know, maybe 11 degrees Celsius minimum across the nights and across the mornings. And I can tell you, for us, that is absolutely freezing and cold. But as soon as you get down to that maybe 1 or 2 degrees Celsius, honestly, people start going to work later because they're colder in the mornings. People don't go outside. And fascinatingly enough, too, some of our rail networks here in Sydney actually can't stand temperatures around 0 degrees Celsius. That has to do with the rails and the sensors on the rails and the signaling systems. But we actually do physically grind to a halt because Australia is not really made for those temperatures. We're actually made but those warmer temperatures, those drier temperatures, not the freezing cold ones. So honestly, when you're saying those temperatures, John, I'm just here in awe almost that people can still survive, because literally we had, I think it was on Wednesday, about 6 degrees here in Sydney, and we almost died. It was absolutely freezing. So honestly, I'm sort of not a cold weather person, but it is very interesting that the definitions of cold are different all the world around.
I'm beginning to think there's something different about Queensland. They call 22 degrees Celsius cold? Are they tropical? Is that why?
They're tropical and they're very proud of it. And I have actually seen it myself when living even in Brisbane, which is the southern part of Queensland. As soon as it gets below 20 degrees Celsius or around 22, people start putting coats on. People start wearing long pants, because for a Queenslander, that's where it is cold. Because for most of the year, probably at least about 90% of the year, they're around 30 degrees Celsius. So we're talking around about 80s and 90s Fahrenheit. But as soon as it drops below that, their bodies can't take it. I've had Queenslanders come and visit me down here in Sydney when it's been cold, and they absolutely freeze at anything even down to 10 degrees Celsius. So you know what? It's a very Queensland thing, but it's also a Northern Territory thing too, where they typically get temperatures between 30 and 40 degrees Celsius.
So what we're having here is an unusual fall, or is this regular temperature range for you?
This week has been a little bit closer to regular. The week before truly was a lot colder than normal, and because we had rain on top of it too, it really added to the mix. So typically what we have in fall is around about, say, 10 degrees Celsius to 20 degrees during the day, maybe 15 degrees towards the wintertime, and then a little bit of rain. But this fall has been okay for this week, but I believe we're actually getting, again, very cold temperatures next week with a possibility of rain. So it's normal, but not quite normal. It has the feeling we're going into quite an intense, wet winter, but it's going to also be much colder than normal.
Note that Queensland regards 20 or 22 Celsius as cold. Translation, that's 70 degrees. That's San Diego. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, rugged up for the fall temperatures here in chilly New England. My goodness, we're at 1 degree Celsius. We're turning to Reptile Report. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.